Welcome to Faye's Knowledge. If you're interested in learning about business, marketing, and personal development, this podcast is just for you. And I say it's just for you because in order to fail, we have to be willing to try. And once you try to do things for yourself, now you're learning and gaining the experience for yourself, which turns into knowledge. So this is the right podcast for you if you're looking for business, marketing, and personal development information, because now you have a chance to learn from others that have been through what you're currently going through or currently having experience, and this is the place for you to grow and develop to help become the best version of yourself. Subscribe to this podcast, and if you really enjoyed towards the end, leave a comment on your biggest takeaway from this specific episode, so that way we can deliver more content, more audio, more videos that can not only help you in your journey but can help propel you. And by propel, I'm actually saying that can help grow and push you forward in your journey. Again, welcome to Failure's Knowledge. Enjoy this episode, and please don't forget to subscribe and wait towards the end and leave a comment about this specific video, your biggest takeaway from this.
Started a little late in life, and my wife and I said, hey, you know, if we're going to do this, we got to get it on. Or, you know, coaches became my father. I've got three tenets in business, right? You got to have the right people in the right seat on the bus, right? You got to have the right process in place. And the last is the technology. I think people pray for things without the expectation of getting them.
Now, this one should be easier.
Oh, that's okay. I mean, hey, you know, you're trying to continue to advance what you're doing. I got it. I like it.
Yes, sir, man. I appreciate your patience. So we're going to go ahead and get it started. So I hope you're ready to share your story and really bring out yourself. So this is going to be a great episode, great conversation. Again, I do appreciate you for your patience and time. So are you ready?
100% ready, sir.
Welcome to another episode of Failure is Knowledge Podcast. Here at Failure is Knowledge Podcast, we're speaking about personal development, marketing strategies, and podcasting tips. Today, we're speaking about personal development and learning more about yourself. I have a special guest. David Ellis is a guest that will not only help you learn more about yourself, but he's willing to share his story and everything that he's been through. So, David, welcome to an episode of Failure is Knowledge Podcast. How you doing, my friend?
I'm doing phenomenal. Great to be on. Excited about the opportunity to share, and look forward to hopefully impacting other people's lives like everybody's impacted mine.
You just said the key word, impacting. And I want to be honest with you. I was going to do some research on you and who you were. I was like, since we just recently met, maybe 48, less than 24 hours ago, our interaction was so unique. I was like, I'm going to let our conversation just unfold, and I'm just going to learn on the spot. So I'm going to be learning a lot on the spot, David.
Okay. That's excellent. Excellent. Let it evolve. It'll evolve to where it's supposed to, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So who are you? What do you do? And like, why? Who are you and what do you do? Let's go like that.
So my name is David Ellis. Currently, I am in employed with the company Sassines, that provides a myriad of different technologies and services to move and provide information to users within an organization. I'm married to my lovely wife. We've been married 26 years. One of the 27th year will be December the 10th. And that in itself has been a nice ride, an interesting ride. I've two children, Josh, who'll be 23 on November 25th, and my daughter, who is Sydney, she turned 24 on August the 31st. So really great family, and excited about kind of giving, you know, my look at my life, how I've achieved the things that I have, and have always wanted to really put who I am in the public forum. Because everything that I have and that I've done, I owe to others who've been instrumental in my life and giving me guidance, giving me strategies, and really appreciate the opportunity to share.
That is incredible. You've been married for 26 years, going on 27 this year.
That's correct, sir.
Your kids' birthday is August, and then November, and then December.
So I've got two kids. My son is 25th of November. My daughter is August 31st. They're 14 months apart. So I started a little late in life, and my wife and I said, "Hey, if we're going to do this, we got to get it going, or we're gonna have two kids in college." And it's all worked out. I'm very blessed, very fortunate. They're beautiful kids, intelligent kids, very respectful kids, and we have an amazing family.
Wow, that's incredible. I'm around your kids' age. I'm 25.
Okay,
I'm
excellent.
25.
That's awesome. Yeah, you could be my son. That's right. Absolutely, absolutely.
What is the key to a happy marriage? Because 26 years is a long time, but it takes work every year. So what is your secret to a happy marriage?
Well, it's a great question because, I think the concept of happiness is overrated, right? Because that's an emotional, what I call a temporal type of scenario. What has made ours last is two things. It's endurance, right? And it's commitment. And we've had our challenges like every couple does in any relationship. And I would say my wife has been a trooper in terms of supporting the household and supporting me in the efforts to the degree that I'll kind of get into my story. I'm originally from Seattle, Washington, born and raised in Seattle, pretty low population of African Americans, but very integrated environment, just a great place to live. I was born to a single mom. My father left me and our family when I was 2 months before being born. But the Lord knew that I needed additional guidance. So I have a sister that's 19 years older than me. And so I have a niece that's a year and a half younger than me, and her name is Kim. Kim and I grew up more like sister and brothers, went to school together, walked home from school together. We had a really strong family without a male role model in my life from a father standpoint. As I evolved, I was always a big kid. One of the stories that I have is when I was in like sixth grade, walking into a basketball gym to play. This is called CYO, Catholic Youth Organization, went to St. Joe's, and one of the kids I was playing against, his name was Paul Ahern. I'll never forget this. He was a grade below me, and he was walking into the gym, and he goes, "Are you the referee?" I'm like, "No, I'm actually playing against you." Had a pretty amazing game. And anyway, my life kind of started out moving around in different schools, and that was kind of a pattern of my life. My mother worked at a hospital. It's if anybody's watched a Grey's Anatomy, that hospital was the hospital that she that the real hospital that she worked at. She worked in surgery and worked with peds. She also did hair in her home. I mean, she was what I would say the prototypical African American woman who's going to do whatever it could to make sure her son had a chance to win. And because of that, she was really all about education, about vocabulary, about steady habits, discipline, and things of that nature. And it ended up she put me in a Catholic school. She told the story to a lot of people while she was alive that she wanted to put me in a public school with the kids that I went to, that I went lived in the neighborhood with. And one day, the day first day of school, she drove me to the school and she heard kids cursing, and she goes, "I don't want to kill you, so we're gonna take you up the street to St. James, and we're gonna have you go to school there where you'll get some discipline, you'll get some guidance, and you'll get a great education." So I literally in first grade met a kid. His birthday was just a couple of days ago, named Danny Maeda. He became one of my dearest friends. And one day it's like my mother would drop me off at 7 o'clock, and one day he goes, "Hey Dave, or you want to go serve mass with me?" And I'm like, I know I was Southern Baptist, grew up Southern Baptist. I was like, "I'm not Catholic." They go, "That's all right, come on." So for the next 7 years at St. James and St. Joe's in Seattle, I served Mass every day for 7 years during the week, and then went to our ba the Baptist church that I was baptized in on Sunday. So it was a really interesting ride going through a parochial environment where the educational environment is rigorous, and I suffer from dyslexia, so reading was I was always challenged with reading, but had I think because of that deficiency, I have an unbelievable recall for numbers and pictures and things like that because I see everything in pictures, right? And was blessed to figure out, probably around the third grade that I was a fairly strong athlete. And in the Catholic school environment, the parochial school environment, they're very well organized with athletics. So I started running track in third grade and playing soccer in third grade, playing baseball in third grade, and I really excelled at the track side and football side, and ended up I went to like I said, my first and second grade went to St. James, third through seventh I went to St. Joe's, and I got a scholarship to a school called Lakeside, and Lakeside is probably one of the premier schools, college prep schools in the States. So this is in 1976, 75, 76. And it was $20,000 to go to this school. We were very poor, right? So because of my athletic ability and my academic excellence, I got a scholarship there. It ended up we won state my freshman year in the 4x1. At one point during the season, I had the fastest time in the state in the classification of school we were in. And the kid that I told you about earlier, Paul Ahern, his father coached some of the top athletes in Seattle. One was Terry Metcalf. People probably know Terry Metcalf, who played for the St. Louis Cardinals, and then his son, Eric Metcalf. Eric and I grew up. He wanted to play at Texas in his college career, and then will probably be in the Hall of Fame. But this coach, coaches became my father. And throughout my athletic career, those are the folks that really kind of stepped in and stepped up. And one of my coaches had put together dollars for me, like I was his child, to go to college because he knew that we didn't have the capability financially to do that. So there's always been those people in my life that were very, very pivotal in helping me go to the next level. Lakeside was an unbelievable experience from a social standpoint, and it created a really interesting dichotomy in my world because I was living at Lakeside. There was only 13 black people in three. It was fifth through 12th, and class sizes were obviously small, but not a lot of people of color, and the uber ultra ultra rich, and it was that in itself was kind of a hard thing to manage, coming from where we came from, where my roots weren't, we were, I won't say we were poor, but nothing like what these folks had, but it socialized me in a way that, I feel like I became a chameleon. We're able to work in, going back to my neighborhood and going into in environments that did of people that didn't look like me, right? So, and it was interesting because most people that meet me by phone that don't know me even today think because I'm from Seattle, being from Seattle, we don't have a distinctive brogue. So people say I don't sound black, whatever that means, right? So even friends of mine, it's like the kids that I grew up with were like, "You're the whitest black guy we ever know." I was called Oreo and everything else, right? And I just said, so it really allowed me to be what I call a chameleon and being able to adapt to any environment. And I think in business, that is a critical element to one's success is being able to meet people where they are, right? And really understand that. And I think because of the diverse environments that I operated in, I knew how to position, how to, you know, be effective and how to connect with these people really quickly, right? So that, I think when I look at what that experience did, I think it prepared me to operate in a very diverse, you know, business environment and business culture. The challenge I was hit with at 18 years old, my mother had remarried when I was 9, had a stepfather, really not a big influence in my life. He had his own issues being an African-American man during those times. And he ended up passing away 2 weeks before my mother did. They both had cancer. And here I am, 18 years old. I'm getting ready to go to University of Washington to, you know, run track. And my world got kind of derailed, right? Just I became isolated from the world because my mother was my best friend. And losing her, you know, kind of took part of my spirit. But I always had a very strong belief in the Lord and the Lord's ability to help navigate through choppy situations, and really had to lean on my faith to get me through those times. And people came in my life and kind of carried me through and helped me through those times, and went through some really dark periods in that, you know, it was like, I would laugh at people that had depression. I just didn't believe that, you know, you snap out of it. You can figure it out. And I remember a day, you know, lying in my bed where I physically could not get out of bed. I was like somebody had when you go to the dentist and they take an X-ray, like they had like 10 of those on me. Mm-hmm. And really kind of reconnected with my roots. I remember going down to Texas and seeing family that I hadn't seen, you know, in it was about 24 years. So we were a real nuclear family. It was my mother, my dad, my mother, my sister, my stepfather, and my niece. And getting to you know that there's other support mechanisms in my life that were caring about me, that were praying for me, that were, you know, interested in my well-being. I think that just, you know, allowed me to navigate. And ended up meeting a young lady who, she says, you know, with your personality and your drive and the success that you've had, you know, you should go into sales. So 1985, I ended up going in for an interview with a company called Pitney Bowes. Most people know them as the mail machine company. Mm-hmm. And I ended up going to the copier division, which they had been for a couple of years, and did extremely well. My first year was rookie of the year. Again, because I worked hard, you know, just, you know, diligent, meeting people, you know, learning the products, doing my part, you know. And I think I got that from the athletic background I have. I have a saying: work when your competitor is not working, right? Put in the hours, put in the time. And, you know, you hear Tiger Woods talk about that. In I'm a big golfer, and he goes, I expect to win because I believe I outworked everybody. And I think that's kind of my mantra, has been my mantra all my life. When I was running track at a high level, I'd work out with the team, and then I'd go run 10 hills with a 10 pound weight vest or a 40 pound weight vest on and a and combat boots. And it served me well. So I take that same work ethic, same work style to everything I've done. And it allowed me to get noticed. I left Pitney Bowes, got recruited away, ended up going to work for a company called American Business Machines that got bought by a company called Apple Standard. Now it became Icon, everybody knows Icon. And then they got bought by Ricoh. So I had a mentor, and it seems like the Lord always puts people in my path to really understand what I'm trying to accomplish. And his name was John Bixby, put me put together a plan for me. And I went from Seattle to Portland, Portland to Seattle, Seattle to Atlanta, Atlanta to St. Louis, St. Louis to Oregon, Oregon to St. Louis, and then ended up we moved down here about to Florida about 3 years ago. And so again, it's always people that help you kind of, put together your plan, hold you accountable to your plan, and give you, the pointers that you need as you might fall off the path because you're not getting what you want at the in the time frame that you want it, right? And I always say there's our time, there's God's time. Sometimes you're not ready to receive what God has to give you. It's so much more than you anticipate, and you're not of the mindset. So I always say God knows your heart and your mind, and fulfills you at a time that you're ready to accept it. It's like there's a saying, the teacher will appear when the student is ready, right? And sometimes you're just not ready, and the Lord knows you're not ready to take it on. So from that standpoint, I grew my career and about 2018, just prior to the COVID, whole COVID stuff, I ended up wanting to go on my own, ended up starting a consulting business, and wanted to leverage having run businesses for large corporations. One business was a $100 million company. Another one was, when I started, it was a $22 million company, and it grew to, I grew it in 8 years to $63 million. So, and just had the, as I say, I've got three tenets in business, right? You got to have the right people in the right seat on the bus, right? You got to have the right process in place, right, to ensure that you can measure what you expect, right, and inspect that on a real consistent basis, have a strong cadence. And then the last is the technology, right? That kind of brings it all together, shows all the measurable indicators that you need to understand to, as I say, kind of tweak the program to really get out of it what you're trying to get out of it. And the interesting part for me is it's a lot like running fast, right? People think you just run, you're fast. I'm like, yeah, but there is certain methods that you have to employ, right, in order to create lift and to create a forward thrust in what you're doing. And so it track always made me look at things from a very microscopic perspective, right? I always looked at the micro, not the macro. And I carried that mindset into business, wanting to really understand the nuances that made this thing be successful. And surrounded myself just with, people that were smarter than me, people that, would try to outwork me, and just made great friends, made great relationships with clients. And as it relates to my business approach, I believe that, my job is to help other people accomplish what they're trying to accomplish in business, right? And I've got to know that. And I always tell people I will outwork in them, helping them get what they want. So, I take pride in what I do, and that word gets sometimes turned around. It's, pride stands for personally responsible delivering excellence, right? So each of us have to take on that ownership of our part of whatever process that we're trying to execute to. And I've really been, blessed to choose good people. I've had great mentors in my life. And I would say, one of the other tenets that has been really helpful for me is taking the approach from a business standpoint that when I'm trying to sell a good product or service, is that my job is not to operate in my reality, but to operate in the client's reality, right? What is their operating reality, right? What are they trying to accomplish? And I always say you never know what might shows up to a meeting, to an engagement, with what's in their luggage. I don't know what they're bringing to the table, and we can portray like everything's good, but I always try to get to a deeper level relationship with people. And that was one of the genesis for me to really do that is I'm a huge golfer, right? And I learned early in one of the interviews I had. I had a chance to go work for a company called Sealand, and they're freight forwarders by sea. And the lady, she goes, "I love you, Dave. You know, you're the perfect kind of guy. Last question is, do you play golf?" And I'm like, "I'm a tennis player." She goes, "Well, when you learn to play golf," and that I was 20, I would think I was like 23, 24 years old, 23 years old. She goes, "Come back and talk to me." And so my tennis guy said, "Hey, Dave, let's play some golf." I'm like, "Dude, that's too slow of a game. That looks easy." And I was captivated by it, fell in love with it. And it's been one of the biggest strategies to a winning business, quite frankly. Because if you think about it, when do you get 4 to 5 hours of somebody's time, right? Where you get to see how they act. Do they cheat? Can they count? Right? What their personality is like. And you get enough time in that period to build a real strong foundation of a relationship. And so I've always found the golf course to be a place where I did a lot of prospecting for opportunities, but a lot of other places where I was trying to close some large deals. We closed Anheuser-Busch, InBev, and one of the last pieces of the puzzle was to get the guy making the decision on the golf course. Not a good golfer, but we spent 6 hours together, got to know each other's families, got it became personal. And I think it's an important part that, you're there to conduct business, but it's still an H-to-H environment that you're operating in. It's human to human, right? And if you can show care and concern, that person believes that they can, you're an outlet for them to share their challenges and the crosses that they bear. Yeah, it's like, dude, that's the guy I want to do business with. Because, the goods and products are all the same. Price is a little different. But at the end of the day, people do business with people. There's three tenets: people they know, people they like, and people they trust. And you can't get to the last two unless you figure out the very first one. And that's, I think that's about, I look at it like prayer, right? I think people pray for things without the expectation of getting them, right? We expect something to fall out of the sky, right? Well, a lot of the times prayers are answered by the people that are in our path. They come and validate things that are supposed to happen and that we've prayed for, that we've asked for, that, we've commanded that come our way. And everything in my life, I can contribute, attach somebody that helped me along the way, right? I didn't do any of this on my own, right? And I try to, in kind, give of myself, right, to help anybody I can. And when I got to meet you, it was ordainedly designed, because literally over the last couple of weeks, another gentleman who my wife is a massage therapist. She does massage, and this gentleman is has his own podcast, and it's on a different spectrum of what folks are talking about. But I think it's important to understand this, is that I kept asking my wife, "We gonna call this dude. We ain't gonna talk to this guy. I want to do this podcast thing," and I've been talking about it, right? And we ended up meeting in a place that I always go to Publix, but I had never been to that one till that day, right? And we were trying to choose where to go. And literally, I go back to situations that every decision doesn't seem like a big decision, right? That can become a critical decision. And being open, not to second guess yourself. I always say, sometimes you got to dive in the deep end. Just go for it, right? Be bold enough and know that you're covered, that things are out there for you, that answer. So you come in and we meet, you stop and say hello to me, which it's usually reversed. I'm usually talking to everybody. My wife's like, "You got no strangers in your life, people you just haven't met yet." And it's true. Anyway, I was fortunate enough to have you come in. And again, I'd been asking my wife, putting it what I call in the ether, putting it out there. I want to be on this, you know, I want to do a podcast. I want to do a podcast. And here you come out of nowhere. Don't know you from Adam, right? And it's amazing how the human spirit is called situationally to engage with other humans. And I think, you know, that becomes part of the challenge we live with and operate in this world is people are so afraid to put themselves out there. And one of my things in business is, you know, that of all the people that you catch eyes with, that you see that walks past you and you feel something, right? That is divine. That is when the magic happens, when you get out of your head, right? Get into your heart, get into understanding what it is that you want. It always comes through others, right? And all we have to do is be open and available and trusting that, okay, let's see where this goes, right? Because for me, it always goes back to what I call the 6 degrees of separation, right? They say we're six people away from knowing everybody on the planet. It's kind of crazy. When I lived in St. Louis, which is a very tight-knit community, they say there are three, right? And they literally did a study to prove this out where they had a guy that was living on the street and the guy that worked in a penthouse, right? Ended up, say, here, I have a friend. I want to see how many people it takes you to get to know my friend and how many times it takes me to know your friend. And it was three. It's kind of crazy. So, you know, I look at the human experience is challenged today, right? I mean, the world is somewhat divided, and I think people are looking to communicate. People have their head down doing this all the time. You know, I think it was very refreshing for you to acknowledge me because I'm usually the one, you know, trying to, hey, how you doing? What's your name? What do you do? My standard, you know, wanting to get to know people, where they're from, because I always say people know what they do and they know where they're from, right? And my thought, if I can get people opening up, it is very rare that I don't find some connection or something that, you know, we both can benefit from the meeting, right? And for me, I was very, very, very blessed to be given this opportunity to share, you know, kind of my life and what I've done, what I've accomplished. And it's, you know, life is not easy, but it's truly an awesome thing to have the opportunity to interact with other people and help them. I get more joy out of seeing somebody else benefit because of, I realize of all the people that I've shared with you today that have poured themselves into me, that make me the man that I am, that make me the father that I am, make me the husband I am, make me the friend that I am. I feel privileged and honored that you would even ask me to participate in this. I really mean that. And to give me a platform to kind of share, you know, the challenge I have. Kind of digress a little bit, but so it was in this last 7 years, an event occurred that I would have never thought occurred. And that was, I get a call from this lady. Her name was Betty Alexander. She goes, are you David Ellis? I said, yes, I am. She goes, I'm your sister. I'm like, my sister? I said, I got my sister Sharon. He goes, no, on your dad's side, right? I'm like, okay, because I really didn't know that part of my family. Come to find out, I had six sisters that I'd never met. And my wife is Judy Ellis. I literally have a sister named Judy Ellis. And just kind of crazy. And it's funny how strong blood is. So the Betty and I have been in that 7 years. I mean, I talk to her all the time. She's a great person, support for me. She's older than me by about 16 years, but she's like losing my mother. I have, again, I think the Lord puts other mothers, other figures in your, to fill that void. But yeah, that was another radical change and impact. So my family grew overnight, and I got to see an uncle at my father's. We went to my father's funeral. This is about 6 years, 5 years ago, and got to meet a family that I didn't know existed, you know, and just continue to be blessed with what I would call more support, and having those people that, you know, care about me, even though we just met, you know, and that blood is strong. And so those are some of the pivotal things. I can talk a little bit about a little bit more about business in that, you know, when I was running a business, everything that I did was r really driven about driving bottom line, right? And in a sales environment, you know, I really believe that it's important that you have a strong, repeatable, predictable cadence in what you do, right? You know, predictability creates profitability. And that's always been a model of mine. When you know, if you do it, if you do this, that this will, you're going to be relatively close to either just falling short, hitting the number, or exceeding the number. But for me, it's really about people, right? I don't care what, you know, what you do. It's like what you do is requires people, right? And I think one of the things that I always do when I'm looking to hire, because I'm hiring now, is I always want to know what the person's why is, right? What's your why? What drives you to get up every morning, lace them up, and run after it, you know, like nobody's business, to be the very best you can be. And I think the reason I change, I take that path of understanding of the person, because most folks in the sales environment think that it's, you know, people are money motivated. I'm like, I don't think anybody's money motivated. I think people are motivated by what the money can do for them. And if we help them plan that, which is, you know, one of my modicums is when I bring somebody in, you know, I want to know what your goals are. I want to know your family. I want to know, you know, how you spend your time, you know, what's important to you, and really design how I engage with you to, you know, help you get the things that you're trying to accomplish, not necessarily what I want to accomplish as a leader. Because a lot of times, as leaders, and when I first got into business, started leading, that's, you know, it's like, what do I want? What's in it for me? I want to hit my number, right? And I always say it's kind of like, you know, being a sprinter. It's like running the 4x4 or 4x1, right? It takes a team. Everybody can be fast, but if that handoff isn't smooth and in the zone, you ain't going in, right? And I think, you know, this is a meeting people where they are, kind of like I said, operating in the client's operating reality. Well, I think I also got to do that with the rep, right? And any of my support staff. And I take a personal interest in what they do. I want to know their husbands, their wives, their kids. Just want to show a genuine, sincere concern about their families. People are sick, stay home, take care of your families. This job will be here. Ain't nothing more important. You're doing this for your family, so, you know, get healthy. My thought is, it's really about how do I help people achieve what they're trying to achieve. Along the way, I'll get what I want out of that as well, right? And so it's really about not being selfish. It's about being selfless and really leaning on how I drive that person to help them get their goals. And there's a saying I got that a gentleman gave me, Jimmy Vaughn. He goes, you know, you want to light a fire under folks without burning them, you know? And I think that's it's a very in this day and age, you know, I grew up spirit of Ross, spoiled child. Now, you know, somebody grabbed for a belt, people calling the police, right? So at the end of the day, I think it's about being willing to adapt and look at people in an organization as individuals and finding out individually what motivates them. And, you know, don't leave on the money thing. It's important. Don't get me wrong. We all got things we have to pay for. But I really think it's about understanding, you know, them as individual human beings, what they're motivated by, what they're driven by, what they're trying to accomplish, and be sensitive to their time. Give them time when they to do what they need with their family, even when it might appear to impact the business. But I tell you, I'm about retention, right? I want to retain my people, right? Because people buy from people. I want retention to be very high, and it not to be a place that people go, oh my gosh, I gotta go to work. I want people that get up in the morning and they're like, dude, I get to go to work. I'm privileged, I'm honored, you know. And I work for a gentleman that is absolutely probably one of the best leaders I've ever had, just because he's like authentic. He's very straightforward. He's very considerate. He's very highly intelligent and strategic in his approach. So he is bringing value at every turn. And as a leader myself, that's my goal. I want to be a resource to, you know, people that I work with, clients that I work with. I want them to go, at the end of the day, my whole thing is I want them to say in their mind, even out loud, I want Dave Ellis on my team. I want that guy fighting the fight for me, you know. Yeah, I mean, that's kind of a story in a roundabout way. We can get a little deeper, but I think that gives you some oversight of an understanding of who I am, what I'm about, kind of how I got to this seat talking to you today. And I truly appreciate you giving me the venue to share. And if there's other opportunities, I'd love to do it as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Dave, I do want to say I appreciate you for even sharing your experience with me, because one thing that I've learned, you hit it on the nail, you kept bringing it up, is mentorship, is that you have to learn what you are doing from others who already has the experience, who already been through what you're going through. And what I've learned is that my first mentor was my mother, who was a single mother raising three boys by herself. But at the time, I didn't know it was called mentor or mentorship. I just thought it was called a mother raising three boys by herself. And so I commend you on the success that you have, because you have been through so much. And I do want to send my condolences to you as well. You've been through so much, but you didn't let what you've been through stop you from growing, developing, and making an impact. Yeah. So I commend you on that, because people are learning from you. People are watching. People feel your energy. In fact, I felt your energy. That's why I wanted to approach you and have a conversation with you, because I felt like there was something deeper there. I felt like it was something that could be more explored. And you gave me the opportunity to learn more about you.
Yeah.
In closing remarks, before we end this phenomenal conversation, what is one piece of advice you can have for a starting entrepreneur who's looking to get into business?
Yeah, I would say find that person that has traveled the roads you're trying to travel. And, you know, don't be bashful in doing that. And, you know, I always say start with praying about it, right? For me, right? Because, you know, I've always asked God to put people in my path. And the irony is, this job I'm in, I didn't freaking want the job. I did not want the, I told my wife, I don't want to do this anymore. I'm done doing this. And as the good Lord has always a plan bigger than mine. And the guy told me I didn't get the job. First go around, he goes, we picked somebody else. I said, hey, well, I'll take another role within the organization. You could use my experience. And he came to tell me when I got the job, he goes, that was the thing that made me want to have you on my team, right? Because you did not give up. And that is always the story. It's like, Don't give up. Don't beat yourself up. Keep fighting. Keep, you know, demonstrating your value and understand it. And that, I think it's important that you know your value, right? And be able to articulate it in as effective as you can. But I just think that it's really important about understanding what you want to do, and when you do it, you got to give it your all. It's an old football saying, playing football is like I leave everything on the field every day, right? Run through the play, run through the finish line. All these things that we learned in sports, I think, are very apropos and applicable to business. I mean, it's crazy how I think athletes do well in business because we understand how to work with in a team environment. But the biggest thing is don't beat yourself up, build yourself up. In partying, one of the things I'll tell you that my mother had me do, she was a savant. Two things. She had me meditating at 13. That I think that's meditation is very critical to quiet the brain because we can talk ourselves in and out of a whole bunch of stuff. But the other thing is she had me doodle, and my sister kept this, and it's crazy. She had me doodle, David Ellis is the greatest. David Ellis is the greatest. David Ellis is the greatest. I literally have, like, it was all, you would see it, you would think it was a punishment, but it was really that mental reinforcement that I was great, that I am great, and because we all are great. I mean, Jesus says, you'll do what I do and greater, right? But we don't think that. But we will, and I have. So that's my counsel.
David, man, I appreciate it. I appreciate you so much. Before we get off, how can people follow you? How can they connect with you? How can they work with you? Or how can they learn more about you?
Yeah, absolutely. A couple ways. My personal number, I give it out. And I have other businesses that I do and would love to help folks, find their way. My phone number is 636-577-1934. The name of my business is David Ellis Consulting. And my job is, in my mind, is to lift other people up who are trying to get their business off the ground, trying to take their business to the next level, and are really looking to how to market what they do.
Man, this has been great. This has been great, David. I appreciate it. I appreciate it. Here within the next couple of days when we edit it, I'll send you a copy of the final conversation, so that way you can have it.
That'd be awesome. Self.
So, David, I appreciate you, and we are connected. And
absolutely.
I look forward
anything
to
anything I can do, I'm here for you, my friend. Absolutely.
I appreciate it, David.
Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir.
All right. Have a wonderful day. Be blessed.
You too. Have a good one.
All right. Bye now.